Recording in progress. All right, I will now call to order this evening's meeting of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, Wednesday, March 19th, 2025, 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Brookins Administrative Building, Urbana, Illinois. Can I get a roll call, please?
I will do the roll call while Stephanie, she says she's very confident about that one, but let's give her a chance. Okay, Chris Miner.
Here.
Tony Nichols.
Here.
Joe Omosagie.
Here.
Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Happy birthday. Kyle Patterson. Emily Rodriguez.
Here.
Jane Sprandel.
Here.
John Paul Joachim. And Molly McClay.
Here. All right, we have a quorum, so we can move on to our next item, which is to approve the agenda on page one of your packet. Any discussions or motions regarding the agenda?
If there is no discussion or changes necessary, I make a motion to accept the agenda as presented.
Seconded.
Thank you very much. We have a motion and a second to approve the agenda as presented. Any final discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda as presented, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. Next, we will move to the MHB and DDB schedules and an updated MHB timeline on pages 3 through 7 of your packet. No action needed, but just a reminder that we will not be having the joint study session with the Developmental Disabilities Board next week. That was canceled at our last meeting. Any questions or discussion? Seeing none, we will move to the CCMHB acronyms and glossary, which are on pages 8 through 19 of the packet. No action needed. I noticed that the organizations I mentioned to be added to the glossary and acronyms have been added, so thank you for that. And I understand there are other additions.
Leon and I found a couple of other things to add when you asked to add those. And now as we go through applications, we're running into acronyms that might be missing from this. But I think this has got everything. So if you, in your review of applications, find a strange new acronym, please let us know because we can always update this.
That is very good to know. Thank you very much. Any discussion on this item? All right, seeing none, we will next move to public participation, agency input. And on the second page of the agenda, there's a little more information about that. I will read it since some of it is newer. So public input can always be given at our meetings at this point in the meeting and later on in the meeting at a designated spot. You can give it in person by approaching the podium or filling out a little slip. We can call your name. You can also give public input virtually by raising your hand in the Zoom or putting a note in the chat that you'd like to speak. I do reserve the right to limit individual time to 5 minutes and total time to 20 minutes. All feedback is welcome. The board cannot respond directly, but we may use input to inform future actions. And just another note, I'll make this reminder for the next couple meetings, but agency representatives and others providing input which may impact board actions should be aware of the Illinois Lobbyist Registration Act 25 ILCS 170/1 and take appropriate steps to be in compliance with the act. With that, does anyone in person or online have any public comment that you'd like to give? All right, and there is no one in person or online asking to give comment, but there will be another point in the meeting when you can.
Yes, Carrie from Grove in Illinois has something online.
All right, it would be great. Carrie, please share.
I just wanted to make an announcement that we, Grove, has started a new peer-to-peer group at the U of I on campus on Thursday evenings. for, you know, 18 to 25. It's predominantly for the students that attend there. So if you work with them at all, please let them know about that new group. It's on Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock at the McKinley Foundation.
All right. Thank you very much. Anyone else want to make a comment? All right. With that, there will be another point in the meeting when you can make public comment. But for now, we'll move on to our next item, chairperson's comments. So as I'm Molly McClay, the chair of the Champaign County Mental Health Board. I just want to welcome you all this evening. Thanks for the wave. I had something prepared and I've totally blanked on it. I know we have a packed agenda and we are going to be discussing some important items around some information we've gotten from the community, both in our community behavioral needs assessment activities, as well as a survey that agencies were recently given the opportunity to fill out about how emerging threats at the federal level may be impacting them and the individuals they serve, as well as the services and other things. So we will be discussing that, as well as discussing the process for reviewing the funding applications, which I think, you know, given some of these changes at the federal level, it is now, you know, more important than ever for the Mental Health Board to be here locally to support and recognize that there may be, you know, significant challenges that our agencies are facing that we may be asked to add further support on than in years past. So I just wanted to make a note of that and a reminder that we are here to serve all members of our community, no matter who they are, and make sure that we are supporting their mental health. And that concludes my comments. So next, we will move on to Executive Director Lynn Canfield's comments.
I'm really excited about my comments tonight. They're like very nerd level and makes me really happy. And there's sort of good news and bad news. This is very early in the year to be talking about what money we might expect to have and spend in 2026. And I've been for decades a pest bothering the county budget people about what they expect us to have in 2026. But I do it anyway. And I'm looking at, you all asked for an estimate of what might be affordable. So there is an early estimate included in this packet. It usually changes every time I ask for updated information. There is an update usually to the good, like more money to spend on agency contracts. But this is where we're at right now. One of the reasons that I wanted to do it now is that we have some unexpected changes in our budget in 2025. But it looks like between like the moving, I mean, we don't know what the moving costs are until after we move, but the lease itself is not going to increase our budgeted costs. We've budgeted enough to cover the lease. So whether we move in April or in August, we're good. I don't need to make any changes there. It's not going to cut into what is available this year for agency contracts. So part of the calculation of what you can spend on these applications, you know, the requested funds include 6 months of 2025. So these new potential expenses within 2025 looked scary last month. But because there's not a lot of change regarding lease rental and other like admin side costs, it looks okay. And then just totally by coincidence with the three agency contracts that were canceled as of December 31, and then money that's being returned as unspent revenue from last year's contracts, which that happens subsequent to audits. So the potential to have to pay out some big surprise payment is not, I think it's not going to hurt us because we have this additional money in 2025. So then 2026 has nothing to do with it. We don't expect any more surprises in 2026. These things should be done by then. So I was really I was just really looking forward to telling you that. Okay, and it should, next time you see an estimated budget from me, it probably is going to look better. Fingers crossed. And then the other really great happy news is that we've been working with some stats students. We usually say no to engagement with student groups during the spring because we're busy with this and with legislative sessions. But I said, yeah, okay, because they want to do data visualization. And if there's one thing we know we could do better is we collect all sorts of data, but we struggle with how to show it to you and the public in engaging ways that are easy to understand or, like, interesting to look at. But these students are just, every time I meet with them, they're just, like, knocking it out of the park. And so we don't have anything to show you quite yet. And if they don't come up with anything, it's still not a waste. I think the collaborations are meaningful for both of us. But they are promising us some template tools that we could use in the future, which would be amazing. So they got a couple maps. If we can find the right place to post them, you know, they're maps about what we did in PY24. But they also are very hopeful that we have the skills to use their templates. So anyway, that's it. Just only good news, right? Okay.
Very, very good. Very, very good news on all counts of what you just shared. So thank you very much for that. So next, we will move to approval of CCMHB board meeting minutes. So on pages 20 to 24 of the packet are minutes from the CCMHB's February 19th, 2025 meeting. An action is requested to approve them. And I had inquired about a question about them that I believe is probably resolved.
She said she was very careful about that motion.
Okay.
You can ask her if she's there.
I just checked on it. I listened to the recording. That is the motion that was voted on.
Okay, thank you very much.
It's at 2 hours and 22 minutes if anybody cares to check on it themselves.
Yes, all right, thank you very much. does anybody have any discussion or amendments to suggest to the minutes? All right, seeing none, I will move to approve the CCMHB board meeting minutes from February 19, 2025 as presented. Can I get a second?
I second.
Thank you very much. Any final discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the CCMHB board meeting minutes as presented, say aye. All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The minutes are approved. Next, we will move to the vendor invoice lists on pages 25 to 35 of the packet. Action is requested to accept the vendor invoice list and place them on file. And for information are additional details for these expenditures. Any discussion or motions?
If there are no questions or anything that anyone would like to discuss, I'd like to make a motion to approve the meeting minutes from February 19th, 2025 meeting.
Thank you. I will second. Any final discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of accepting the vendor invoice lists and placing them on file, say aye. All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The vendor invoice lists are accepted and placed on file.
Just for clarification, I believe Jane just made a motion to accept the minutes.
I did. Let me redo that. So sorry.
Okay.
I can't multitask today. Okay, so I would like to make a motion to approve the vendor invoices as presented.
Thank you very much. I will second that motion. Any final discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of now accepting the vendor invoice list and placing them on file, say aye. All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The vendor invoice lists are officially accepted. And next, we will move on to staff reports, pages 36 through 69 of the packet. And this month, it is one staff report from Lynn Canfield. And other staff reports are deferred due to review of requests for funding. Lynn, do you want to share anything about your report?
No, but I want to make a meta observation. I just realized that I really go out of my way to make you miss the other staff reports, right? It was a struggle to get this down to 34 pages. I edited some things out because people were saying things that might lose them their jobs. But otherwise, it's hard for me to say, like, which details are not going to be useful to somebody in our world, so I put it all in there. Anyway, that's it. Yeah. I'm happy to share those things offline, but I thought I better not put names and comments like that in there. Both of these conferences were more well attended than ever, and the staff who support the national associations told me that what they were hearing was people really wanted to know what was going on. And we didn't really get that information, but there was a really good sense of shared purpose because, you know, elected county officials across the country, regardless of the politics of their state, are struggling with a lot of the same things. I could go on and on, but it's all written down for you.
Yes, I just want to commend you for your Herculean effort to, both attend these back-to-back very intense conferences and get all of this information and then condense it down for us. That is very remarkable, and it sounds like there were some moments of hope from what I could read in the minutes, including like some bipartisan efforts to support mental health that I think you pointed out. So any other discussion on this report?
Yeah, just to say that one thing that I'm always interested in, which you're looking at this from more of a macro view, but is what people on the ground are actually doing. You know, for example, there is a county in Eastern Kentucky, not the one that sends drug court people to learn art, but another county where, and there's a little video about it I could maybe send, where the rehab people are from drug court go to housing, you know, for their recovery, and a town of which there are many that has all these empty storefronts. It's an old coal town. They have put very small businesses in there, and then they hire the people who are in rehab, so they have a job to take up their time. They have money, and it's really working. And they find relationships in their housing with other people going through the same thing they are. Then they go to work in this little town where there are these little businesses, and they find other people, and pretty soon they've got a community supporting them. So I don't know if that's being done all over the country or not, but it's being done in Lawrence County, Kentucky. And over, I've been impressed by what that state is doing. I mean, it's right on the front lines of all the opioid stuff, but what the kind of creative things they're doing with, I mean, that doesn't take a lot of money in a town that, in an area that's dead anyway, you know, nobody's using those little storefronts. So just one example of, you know, that I would like to know more about those kinds of things.
That is really often what we're doing in the, there are, some of these groups are just like an online meeting every couple of months where we, that's what we do. We talk about what's going on in different communities. And then at the conference, we're trying to get updates on legislation and what might happen. Obviously, in the last few congressional sessions, they haven't gotten much done. Like, that's been true for a while. Like, the states get a lot more done than the federal. But at this one, I was facilitating one of the roundtable discussions, and my group said, we don't want to share about innovations today, because when we're actually thinking we might lose Medicaid completely, like, we don't have anything to share right now. We want answers from you. So I said, well, then let's change the assignment. And we just went ahead and did what we were moved to, which was to respond back to NACO that we, our whole group really believed that the Medicaid waivers, whether they're the 1915s that sustain elder care and care for people with disabilities, or the 1115s, which are innovations, should remain and be made permanent, because those were where people were like getting really good cost-effective results. So that was our message back to the group, is like, you know, we, not today for our brilliant, you know, local innovations. Today we want you to do something for us. So, but normally that is what it is. It's really interesting, and a lot of it arises from the context of a community. Like, if they've got nothing but property tax, but they're a tourist town, and all of a sudden, like, for example, that was a big issue during COVID. Like, people were suddenly accommodating all kinds of permanent residents who were working in their little seaside community where there wasn't enough ambulance or sheriff service and no way to pay for it. So those are where the really interesting ideas come from, out of necessity. So anyway, sorry to ramble, but yeah.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion on this? Well, thank you again for attending, and for providing all of this information. We can now move on to our first item of new business, which is on the evaluation capacity building project. And information is available on pages 70 to 78 of the packet. So we have a decision memorandum that provides an overview of the two-year evaluation capacity building project and requests a two-year extension. And then we also have a budget, you know, some information about the budget that is being proposed for the two-year extension. So, Lynn, would you like to intro this?
So, right, we did try to give you an update of what the team has done the last 2 years, and the lead of the team, Dr. Dariotis, is here to speak to that. She did provide us with some of this information and links, and we will continue to provide the links in the agenda of future board meetings so that it's easier for folks to look at these tools. And then we, looking forward, we talked to agencies. We had a brief survey for the agencies to complete for us. It was anonymous, and the responses are summarized in a very short little paragraph here on page 72. Just, this is some of the things that people liked. I was learning more about how to organize data, using a logic model, receiving technical assistance, and defining meaningful and measurable outcomes for special populations like people with DD, or unique services like peer support and mentoring groups, which Champaign County has been fortunate to be able to support a lot of that peer support in independent agencies. So the challenge for them is a little bit different. Then we had some survey responses that I felt should not reflect on the project. These were more about like our staff and board decision processes. So those are separated out. People wanted to know how you get chosen for target support, for targeted support. That's part of the contract process. And, you know, we don't force anybody to do it, but we figure out who seems to need it and then, or who's open to it during that process. And that's mentioned in your decision memo in May, so that it is, so that you're blessing the whole set of special provisions. And then the other thing was about what are appropriate outcome measures and tools for measuring them to improve grant applications. And this is something that I've been getting in the way of, because if we're going to share information about how to write a competitive grant, that information needs to be public. So we don't want the team to get used as support for writing a better application unless that's available to everybody, which is why they've been posting all the tools when they complete them. But that's on us, not them. So then the rest of it is like, I got really excited about breaking down the numbers, what each board pays during each year. That's probably more detail than anyone wants to see, but I'm going to use this memo later when we're working on the budget, so it's helpful for me to figure it out now. Anyway, so that's it. And then Dr. Dariotis provided us with some budget details and activities for the next 2 years if this is approved. And the final detail is the DD board did approve engaging with you in this. If you don't want to do this, we would take a different proposal back to them next month because they wanted to continue. So, okay.
All right. Well, we can go ahead and start the board discussion. And we do have a proposed motion that we can use on page 74, and we can alter that motion as needed. But any comments from board members? And Dr. Dariotis is here to answer questions as well.
Well, I personally have appreciated everything I have learned from you and your team, and it seems like it's really making a difference in some of our agencies, and so I feel it would be good to continue on this partnership.
Yeah, I have a question. I agree with what Jane has said, so this is not I don't mean this to be an aggressive question, but you talk about the trainings and the toolkits and all that you've made public, but who owns that? I mean, suppose you said at some point we can't keep doing this, you know, and we lose your contract. What would happen to all of that material that is public? Is that ours or yours or...
Yeah, so our hope is that we'll be able to continue to host it on our website. Mm-hmm. And then if we can't continue to host it, then that would be a conversation with the board as to where it should go.
Where it should go. Okay.
is this working? Okay. just like we've talked about, so the measures repository that the previous evaluators had, mm-hmm. we're actually even just internally having an issue of like being able to access it completely ourselves. Yeah. We have it, so we're actually copying it over to another place, and we've mm-hmm. been in conversation with the board staff about how we mm-hmm. can make sure that they have access to it as well, so mm-hmm. that we make sure that everything is, you know, accessible into perpetuity.
Okay, that was really my worry, that somehow, mm-hmm. you know, things would not be available or it would become an issue, so that's good to know.
Yeah, we want to give as much access as anyone wants to have, and if it's easier for us to manage it at the moment, but if there were to be a handoff, we would definitely make sure that that happens.
Okay, thank you.
I'll just go ahead and echo what's been shared so far. I think this project has been incredibly helpful. I think that the approach that your team has taken with working with agencies and really inviting their voices into the process and really being focused on empowering them around what are the things that they need, how can the project support that and develop tools that they can utilize to continue to work on evaluation in the future, not just like working on things while they're in direct communication with you, but being able to carry that forward and use these tools for themselves, I think has been incredibly valuable. And I definitely support continuing the project.
Well, Thank you for the positive feedback and for your support and the support of the agencies as well.
Any other comments, discussion from the board, and or motions?
I make a motion to authorize the executive director to enter into a 24-month extension to the contract with the Family Resilience Center for the support as proposed, with the start date of May 1st, 2025, end date of April 30th, 2027, and total cost of $271,686, pending approval by the CCDDB.
Thank you. Anyone want a second?
Seconded.
Thank you very much. Any final discussion?
I think there's a comment in the chat.
There's two.
This is relevant. It's an agency which has worked with, I believe, with your work group, right? Brenda Eakins from GROW says it's been a great team to work with. And then Rachel Jackson from your team says, thanks for always sharing your time with us, Brenda, which GROW is a small agency with small staff. So I've also been impressed that they had time, gave you time with the work group. The work group has given us some really interesting feedback too.
Yeah. Awesome. That's great to hear that. Any final discussion from the board? All right. Well, we will take a roll call vote on this motion to authorize the executive director to enter into a 24-month extension to the contract with the Family Resiliency Center for the support as proposed, with a start date of May 1st, 2025, end date of April 30th, 2027, and total cost of $271,686, pending approval by the CCDDB. Can I have a roll call?
Chris Miner.
Yes.
Tony Nichols?
Yes.
Joe Omosagie?
Yes.
Elaine Clincia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson? Emily Rodriguez?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
Hey, Stephanie, are you still there?
Yeah.
We've got a couple more people.
Who? Oh, John Paul Joachim? Malim Clay.
Yes. All right. With that, the ayes have it, and the motion to authorize us to move into a contract for an extension has been approved. And that is our last item that we have to vote on tonight. So that is very exciting. So next we will move on to results of a survey on emerging threats, which can be found on pages 79 to 88 of the packet. And I believe, for Leon, would you be willing to share more information about that?
I'll do my best. So what you have in front of you is basically a cover memo. And based on a survey that we developed, that we administered or issued to the agencies that we fund. And so this memo came from, you know, the threat back in January. And out of that threat, many of our agencies, I shouldn't say many, but some of our agencies had a lot of uncertainty, which caused stress and high anxiety. And so that caused them to send us emails and phone calls. And so we thought it would be best to hear from the agencies. And so we just developed a short survey, 3-4 questions. We administered or issued the survey in February 18th, and included in the packet here are some of the responses of the potential threats and what that would do to their agencies. As you'll notice, in some of those responses, some agencies were concerned about, you know, reducing some of their staff. Others were concerned about, you know, providing child care, what that would look like for some of their agencies, food assistance, and the list just goes on. And so, as I mentioned before, included in the packet are just some of the responses to some of the agencies that they had regarding our survey.
Thank you very much, Leon. Any comments, discussion from the board? And or any staff members who want to chime in?
It seems like, so this, the idea to do this came from, this is because of something we did during COVID. We asked the, you remember, Joe? The agencies weren't afraid to tell us what they were doing to adjust to the new circumstances. It was really important to them. So we were able to just ask. They sent emails. We put them into memos and shared it. I think we did it 3 times during that first year. And they, those turned out to be really great documents of how to survive in a surprise like that. And then there were some agencies that really emerged as stars with managing the needs of families and individuals that they served. We knew this time people might not want to give us that information with their name or agency on it. And so we made this survey anonymously, but I think we might have done it too early. I think if we do it again in 6 months after more is understood about state and federal appropriations for the coming year, we'll get probably a lot more detail about what the stresses actually are and how people are dealing with them. I don't, you know, we did it. Thank you, Leon, for putting it together and for presenting it. I think if we do it again a little bit later, we might get a lot more responses. I don't know. I don't want to do like we did with COVID. I don't want to ask people to put their name on it or require them to talk about it in their reports to us because they are always sensitive to how funders see them. So anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think if you do it even now, I think the results would be a little different and people would add, and I'm glad that also you're not asking for names because unfortunately agencies and individuals are feeling a little concerned about putting names in documents such as this. But thank you for doing it.
Yeah, thanks. You and Kim did this, and I think that we'll just keep the structure and do it again. But, you know, we'll see when. You know, we cannot. It's up to them to put the time into it. So, anyway, thank you.
Yeah, I just, a couple of things I noticed that I wanted to comment on were, I guess, some specific numbers. So one agency said federal funding cuts will cause our staff to drop to 50% FTE. Another agency said that they're at risk of losing about 20% of their budget, and the funds are all used to support direct service staff, and they're already working to make up the loss of a quarter of the agency's budget from a few years ago that was a result of actions from the first time this administration was in office. I thought those comments were really striking in terms of like the significance of the potential that reductions that they would be facing, and also is a reminder to me of if those reductions occur, then we are likely to receive applications with an increased budget request from us to make up or face potential loss of services. So that was very striking just from this very preliminary information. Any other comments from the board?
I really think that the uncertainty of the future is what has so many agencies, Americans, you name it, concerned. Again, I try to be kind of a glass half full type person. And, you know, I do think some changes have been necessary, maybe not in the way that they're going about right now. So my rosy glass picture is hopefully if we're able to look at some of how the government money is spent, maybe we will come out there, we're allotting more money to some of the things that we do support. And so I'm trying to be positive and supportive of those who are being affected today, whether it be, you know, here is the cut or the uncertainty of knowing what's going to be cut. So I love the idea of asking folks to do this survey so that we too can help support them and we feel like we know what they're going through and we hear what they're going through. Because I think it's very important for people to know that we hear what you're saying.
Thank you very much. Any other comments? All right. Well, seeing none, we will next move on to the next item of new business, which is review of applications for PBY 2026 funding. Speaking of funding issues, so there's some information about this on pages 89 through 93 of the packet. It includes a note about changes to application and review processes, a list of applications with board reviewers, and a checklist for optional board use that you can use as you're reviewing applications. And I don't know, Lynn and I maybe will tag team discussing this because I guess as a brief introduction, last fall, Lynn and I met with each board member to ask some questions about their perspectives on the processes that we have used in the past, anything from application questions, staff processes, program summaries, and going all the way to the way the board reviews applications in our meetings, the way we ask questions of agencies, and things like that. And so the first item on pages 89 through 91 is I asked Lynn to include an email that she sent to me in December because it summarizes many of the changes that were suggested by board members that had already been implemented or things that we might be implementing. And so there's a lot of information here. I won't summarize it, but it's kind of broken down into where we put the notice of funding availability, changes to the application itself, changes to the staff review process, and both potential and already made changes to the board review process, including some of the dates and, you know, how we're hosting the study sessions when certain information will be made available to us. So if you have any questions about that, I guess we can entertain that. Lynn, is there anything else you want to add about that email?
Just that this is actually normal. We tried to make changes every year. So, however we get the information about what we need to change, we'll get it. It was nice to hear from board members directly this time around. People had some really great ideas that were fun to implement. I think a couple of things I really wanted didn't work very well this time around, so I have to work on either the instructions or the application itself. We can talk about that more in the summer when we're working on that again. But I think it's really important for us to update the process each time around because the board changes, the community changes, the context in which we operate changes, and the agencies change. Unfortunately, and I think it's right for us to keep changing it. So a lot of this is like just really nice that it came from you all instead of like staff sitting around trying to figure out what we should do. And we also do that. So So anyway, so like any time, even if we're in the middle of a thing and you're like, why did we do it that way? That's not working. Let me know, because we will change it next time. Okay.
Definitely. And one thing I wanted to point out is, especially given board discussions during the application process last spring and then further discussions that occurred, we included a question in the application around how programs are including those with lived experience in the planning and operation of program activities. We did a lot of like kind of finessing of the specific question, given that it's not always possible for agencies to know if everybody participating has lived experience, but we really wanted to highlight that more given some of our prior discussions. So that's something I wanted to point out. I guess before I move on to the next page, does anybody have any questions about any of the contents in this email? Or comments? All right. Well, with that, we can move on to the next page, which is 92. I guess the next two pages. So we have the list of all of the funding requests, as well as the application review template. This template is something that we've been given in past years, and board members can use this as they wish. You know, you certainly don't have to, but it is here. And then the list of the funding requests with reviewers. At the very end, there's some information about projections for how much we will have available compared to how much is being requested that I might have Lynn give more detail on. But the actual part with the funding request with reviewers, if you have been on the board for a while, we've had various different processes for how we present the applications in our April meetings and meeting and study session. And I asked when Lynn and I met with board members, I asked for feedback specifically on this, because I know when I joined the board and when other members have joined the board, so a little bit of it is like trial by fire, like figuring out how do I do this? What do I talk about? And recognizing that there's a wealth of experience on our board, and that there are variations in the ways that board members wanted to approach this process. So some board members wanted to kind of keep things the same, where every application has a primary and a secondary reviewer. And other board members kind of wanted to look at things differently, where maybe they might take a specific section of applications and be kind of a content expert on the budget or the outcomes or some other area, and wanted to get more of a broad view of all of the applications. So given the variation that we heard, we decided to create reviewer teams. And I promise this will not be the worst group project of all time. We assigned teams based on kind of having someone who's been on the board for a while, and someone who's been is newer to the board, for a variety of experience and perspective, to work together. And each team gets 5 applications. And between the team, you can decide how you want to present them in our meetings. So if you want to do things the exact same that you've always done them, if you've been on the board for a while, you can just divide up those applications. Here's a primary, here's a secondary, and go from there. If you want to split them up completely differently, you can do that. The idea was to provide flexibility so board members could take an approach that they felt most comfortable with, and that they would have another board member to bounce ideas off of and ask questions, especially if you're newer, or you know, just to have some community while you're doing this, because it can be kind of isolating to read these applications and have no idea what another board member is thinking. So the teams are presented here. We also tried to kind of speak to the strengths of the board members and their experiences in assigning the applications to them. Of course, if there are any problems with any applications you've been assigned, please let Lynn and I know. We did keep in mind conflicts of interest that may have been mentioned to us as well. But again, you have a lot of flexibility in how you can go about reviewing these. You can talk to each other, or you can decide we're not talking at all, and we're just going to show up and, you know, split these applications up. The last thing is that there were an even number of board members, except for me. I am going to be providing supplementary review on applications as I chair the meeting, but I did not assign myself to a reviewer team because I thought that my head might explode if I did that. So I will be here to ask questions about all applications so that I don't ramble like I'm doing right now. And just a reminder, as always, any board member can provide supplementary review on any application. All board members have a right to read all applications and share information about them. So, and with that, any questions about this or comments?
Just a comment, because last year was really tiring, because a lot of people, again, do what you want to do. I'm not the boss here, but there was just too much of a, okay, well, this organization, and then reads me. I mean, I got the packet. I know how to read. I can do that. And I do. I'm not into three-hour meetings. I didn't sign up for that, aside from all the other stuff. So, yeah, if we can please avoid that, if you do it, well, I mean, I, like I said, I ain't your dad. I ain't your boss. Do it. But don't. It's just pointless.
That reminds me of a point I also wanted to make, which is that one other piece of feedback that we got in this process is to have the staff kick off the application reviews in our meetings by giving a brief summary of the applications. We have designated, I guess, Lynn, do you want to talk about, because a template has been created. So Lynn,
it's
please share.
It's a very simple template. And so we're working on those. That's just a script. That's like just a script if the person needs it. I can't do the brief thing. So we've selected Leon Bryson, powerful public speaker and knows how to keep it brief, to present each application to you. So that allows you that you don't have to introduce the application because he will do it. So then you can make comments or ask questions from there. So anyway.
Yeah, kind of focusing more on the analysis of the different components of the application and really focusing on like what do we need to like suss out as a board to figure out if we should continue funding this or newly fund this. By having the staff really do that initial quick summary part to get to a concern that Chris, you had as well as others. So thank you for mentioning that so that I could remember to mention that
I'm
part.
Sorry, I forgot.
Any other questions or comments?
I had a question. Maybe this is not the time to ask the question. So we have four agencies that we were still waiting for PY24 audits on. Have any of those come in since our last meeting and printing of this?
I might be able to help out a little bit. So I reached out to those agencies, and I heard back from First Followers and Christian Health Center. Those two said that they would have their audits with their fingers crossed by March 31st. The other agency that I reached out to and had not heard back from was Wynn Recovery. So, and that could be, you know, just caught up in emails or whatnot. I don't have that information. I would imagine that at some point she'll be reaching out to us.
So we could, because there are, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 applications waiting for audits for various reasons, we could just reach out to the reviewers directly to let you know when the status changes. And we're going to do the program summaries anyway. We're just doing them. because I want to be optimistic and plan for the best that they all come in. So, but to save you time, we'll keep you posted if they don't come in. Okay. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, definitely. And I believe the other two that are missing audits who applied but are not currently funded by us are Immigrant Services of CU and Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center. So those two and WIN Recovery we discussed last month, although with WIN we weren't discussing reviewing their application. We were discussing if we were going to continue paying them, but they have not provided any information on either of those items. So it sounds like the only information we have of now is that First Followers and Christian Health said that they're hoping it'll be March 31st. Because if it's not March 31st, then they will have to come to us and ask us regarding potential contract cancellation, because it will be at the end of their grace period to get their audit. And in addition to it being related to the application review. So,
again, probably not the time, but from what I'm understanding from Leon, if we had not heard in regards to the status of the WIN recovery, that means the few requests that the board had at the last meeting obviously are not being fulfilled then. Wasn't it asked that they come to a meeting?
So what we understood is if they ask you for an exception to a rule, they should come to the meeting. We didn't ask people to come to this meeting, partly because I didn't want to give an hour of our time to this discussion unless there was a request, because there's so much more stuff to talk about and think about until somebody makes a request. So I think in April, which is April 30th, your meeting, we probably will have some people, but I'm liking the idea that those audits are going to be done. I know. That's okay.
I'm a glass half.
You just let me do that. we'll just do it in April. But yes, we wanna stay true to that request that we want people to come here and talk to you if they're asking for that. And we have a form that we've asked them to fill out as well, which will hopefully. That way you can see some of what they plan to do about it or the circumstances that have caused lateness. You can see that before they come. So you have a minute to assemble questions. Okay. I hope I didn't misunderstand what you wanted. Is that okay?
I guess, Lynn, kind of on that note, could you explain on page 92 the figures that are at the end there regarding estimates of what we may have available compared to the requested amounts?
So like I said at the beginning of the meeting, I came up with a total amount that I think is affordable for you to spend from July 1, 2025 to June 30th, 2026. And then I took out you have some obligations already to those two-year contracts. So that amount is listed there. The two-year contracts, which will be in effect for that period, total $3,089,066. Part of that is mental health and substance use, and then part of it is DD. The DD portion is calculated by based on the intergovernmental agreement between the two boards. So that's a fixed and known amount for next year. So then going backwards from that, what you have left after the two-year obligations is $3,145,004, which obviously $4 take or not. So then I compare that to the total requests, which are $3,599,421. And the difference between what's requested and available is $454,417. And then I split it out by program type because the DD portion is fixed. So, and there's only one application for DD services, and it's about $19,000 more than what's affordable. So that agency has asked for a 2-year contract, I'm going to recommend a 1-year contract, because if you choose to fund it, it can't be funded for more than $682,664. So I didn't want to lock them into that amount for 2 years if that was not. But we'll see. You have yet to discuss those applications, but that's the purpose of separating out those figures. So the difference between mental health requests and what's available is $435,081. And that's where your difficult decisions always sit.
Yeah. So to clarify, we are going to have to trim $450,000 off of these requests, like I mentioned last month.
So I could sit with the pencil and paper and calculator and Excel spreadsheet and come up with a different number if I have new information from the county. And the way to get that is bother them, and I might. If that's helpful to you for me to update it before your April meeting, I can ask and I can redo the numbers, and then you'd see a different amount there, and that might lighten
your heart. Yeah, it will change the way you look at stuff. If we don't got to cut money, well, then we don't have to cut money. So,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, and then the thing is, if you can afford everything, then you still have to go through and say, do you want it? So you still have hard decisions to make, but it's a lot easier if affordability is not a factor.
Yeah, I wanted to have that discussed kind of in the context of this audit question, because if we are in a position where where the requests that are being asked of us compared to the amount that we have are, you know, over $400,000 short, you know, some of my criteria will likely be, did you meet the minimal responsiveness requirements of the application, which included an audit? And if there's potentially up to 5 agencies that don't have an audit in, you know, that would be concerning, especially if an audit deadline cannot be made by the end of the grace period. That might prompt contract cancellation, that I don't know if we should consider an application. Or at least we may factor that into the decisions. So, it's something to keep in mind. We don't have a surplus this year. I mean, I guess I don't think we've ever had one since I've been on the board, but this amount is not as bad as 2 years ago, but it's right. Worse than last year.
Right. But it could get better. I don't feel okay about imaginary budgets. I wait till I get numbers from them and then work with it. So anyway.
One last question, then I'll let us go past this. It can't get worse, though, can it? In 2-3 months or whatever, it's not going to – okay.
It used to be like that, but we have newer people in the positions. So we have someone at the county who budgets very conservatively. Then I budget very conservatively, and then Chris Wilson budgets very conservatively. So there's like a pileup of – you know, we don't have anybody saying, let's – spend more, except maybe the board might want us to spend more. So that's, you know, this is why it's not final until you get to the May or June final decisions. It's happened before. There's two special circumstances. One is during 2020, when people decided not to pay their taxes because they couldn't leave the house and they weren't getting anything. So they didn't want to pay taxes. So we saw the lowest collection rate maybe ever in that year. So we did receive less money the following year. So that was one time. And then 2008, you might remember something really important happened. And so in 2009, our revenue was quite a bit lower than we anticipated. So it does happen. It can happen. It was like millions of dollars less than we expected because of that was a real estate crisis. So property taxes were impacted. But, you know, you're right, Chris. Thank you. We could.
What?
There could be sudden changes. Oh. That there could be. Those were both unexpected, and they did impact our budget. So it's fair to say that could happen. Okay.
Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments from board about any aspect of the application review process.
Okay, so I don't have to go back to the wonderful timeline that I know is a forward. When will we as board members get our actual ones that we're reviewing?
I sent them all on the day after they, I think it was the day after. No, the actual applications. There's, I can send them anytime. You also have, I can make paper copies for you if you like. That's not a big deal. There are electronic versions of everything, and there's also, you have access to the online site, which some people prefer to work in there, but you just email me whatever you want. We can do lots of different things to support your review of specific applications.
All right. Thank you for that reminder. Like I said, my head is not here today.
I got real excited and sent them out a little earlier than you probably wanted.
The list is here, but yes, there are many ways to get applications, and there will also be the program summaries that will be available in the packets for April as well. Any last comments? All right. We will next move on to old business, and first item is the Community Behavioral Health Needs Assessment Activities, which are on pages 94 to 118 of the packet. So we have information on community needs assessment activities or results that may support our discussion and planning. And this month, it's a draft of community partner input.
New what?
I got lucky and I got the final draft, but I forgot to change in the agenda that this is the final draft. So this is going to be discussed in some public meetings coming up.
Would you like to share more, a little synopsis?
Well, this is what you're getting here is a perspective of primarily of providers of services, and it was interesting. Like a lot of focus on the need for more collaboration, and this is agencies saying it. So I don't know, like how do we do better with that? But that was one of the things. The executive summary is pretty interesting. I think we'll probably use some of these pieces in our own strategic plan for the next 3 years to support agencies with some of the things they're doing. People are still really focused on social determinants of health in order to address health inequities. That is very parallel to what we've been doing. It relates to our current work and could inform future work, too. But I was really surprised about that complaint, that agencies didn't feel like there was good communication between them. I was like, well, who can fix that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that is it is important. But, you know, requiring it in our contracts is that's kind of what we can do. So, anyway, if there are other ways that we can help to encourage collaboration, I think we should. And there's a lot of focus on policy and advocacy work. I thought it was cool. And they use graphics. They use real cool data visualization. Look at that. Nice stuff. Some interesting observations about equity within the organizations and like realities not always aligned with the values. So that I thought was kind of cool. Anyway. There's a lot of stuff there. And we're going to start having public hearings about the actual community health needs assessment results and the priorities that are emerging. They need to select, I think, three top priorities from the five or six that have been identified that you would recognize because they're very similar to prior years. And, of course, mental health is one and community violence is another. So if you're interested in attending those, let me know. I'll be there. Anyway.
Thank you very much. Any board discussion on this? All right. Seeing none, we'll next move on to the Disability Resource Expo update. And there's some information on pages 119 and 122 of the packet, a save the date flyer, or flyers, as well as a financial report on the expo are included for information. And Lynn, or whoever you designate, would you like to share an update?
I can share a little update. We actually had, our first overall steering committee meeting on Zoom the other day. Prior to that, a suggestion had been made. You might notice that the save the date looks a little different, kind of pointing out resources available for all ages. We want you at the expo. Talk about all the accessibility assistance. So we just added a few little things just so people know that everyone is included, everyone is welcome, and we're there to assist everyone, whatever their need might be. So change the save the date a tiny bit, nothing major, not like the date or anything like that. We talked about steering committee members. So if there's anyone who would like to help with the event, and you have a specialty, let me know and I can let them know. We've kind of had a thing where we have a lot of people on the overall steering committee, but only like a few people like are able to do some of the tasks. And so it's great to have advice, but we also need people who can say, I will take care of that, rather than our two coordinators taking care of everything. We talked about kind of maybe realigning a few of our subcommittees and maybe having a person be the head of that subcommittee and then our coordinators oversee them. That is kind of in the works, but kind of on hold a tiny bit. Both of our coordinators, I think, came down with like flu. I mean, this winter, spring, everyone has been ill. And I think between the two of them, they both have had a few health challenges. So we're working on that. But again, if anyone, wants more information on how you can, help out, let me know and I'll tell you what all's going on. But again, we're looking forward to October 18th at Marketplace Mall.
Thank you very much for the update. Any discussion or questions?
Is there a petting zoo there?
In the past, we have had miniature ponies.
Let me know if there's miniature ponies this year. I could bring my cat.
Is it a certified therapy pet?
No.
I mean, you can buy those things on Amazon.
I can
walk it through the Meijer
on the dark
store. I always say I'm going to bring my boxer to Meijer. Ask my husband, will you kick me out? And he's like, please don't.
We'll always welcome the miniature ponies. Any other comments or questions? All right, seeing none, we will next move on to, we're almost done, the update from the Alliance for Inclusion and Respect. And it says an oral update will be provided.
Okay. No. We've been very busy, and we're getting it together. The focus is always within Ebertfest. We have an art show. It's going to be 2 days this year, so we need like volunteers to support the artists. And the festival has changed their approach with us. They're like making tickets available to members and artists and other people supported by the agencies. I love that so much. So that's how we're just in the middle of like coordinating all that stuff. I'm supposed to be working on some promotional materials, but once a year I'm a graphic designer, and once a year I realize I'm not a graphic designer, but trying to do it, trying to feature our artists' work. So anyway, that's the whole update, I think. Okay.
The Ebert Fest will kick off on the April 23rd, and then when is the film?
26th.
April 26th, and that is why we are not having, partly why, also a holiday, why we're not having a board meeting or study session that particular week, so that we can attend the events for this program that we assist with every year. Any questions or comments?
Very quickly, if we were interested in possibly volunteering, do we let you know, Stephanie know, both of you know? Okay.
Stephanie.
Okay. Because I believe that is the same weekend as the marathon. So that could affect a few possible, volunteer people. So, okay, I will get with Stephanie. Thank you for that reminder.
Always that seems to come up often. All right, any other comments? All right, with that, we'll move on to our final moment of public participation, agency input. So if anyone in person or online would like to share with the board, and we limit time to 5 minutes per person or 20 minutes total, you could approach the podium or put something in the chat or raise your hand in the Zoom. Is there anybody who would like to speak? All right, there is no one in person or online who has asked to speak, so we will next move on to board-to-board reports. So as always, board members can attend board meetings from agencies as well as other community boards, and there is a chart on page 123 about anybody who is already attending those. If you're interested in getting involved with that, you can speak with Stephanie Howard Gallo. Is there anyone, any board-to-board reports to report? Lynn, I know I couldn't go to the U of I committee. Was there anything to report from that this month?
No, they were really the focus was police transport for people who need mental health services. That's what they've been talking about a lot. I think there also was some just general fear. These are mostly departments who are focused on student services, so they're themselves worried about their jobs and the future. So, that's the main thing.
All right, thank you. Any other board-to-board reports? All right, seeing none, next we'll move to county board input.
No input today.
All right, thank you very much. And next we'll move to Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board input.
The big news was that they also approved continuing the evaluation contract for another couple of years. Otherwise, they had kind of a fun meeting today.
Are you saying we're not fun?
We have birthday cake. I just want to say happy birthday, Elaine Palencia. Thank you for bringing the cake. It was great.
Thank you. I guess with that, we can move to board announcements and input. And one announcement being that it is Elaine Palencia's birthday and there is cake. Are there any other board announcements or input?
Yeah, me and Miss Molly are speaking in a grad social work class at UIUC on Thursday, and I'm also speaking in a class on Tuesday, Zoom, 6 o'clock, if anyone would be interested. It's a policy class. Hit me up. If not, I'd like to steal the spotlight, so I can definitely do it by myself. Dr. Kingery, social work services policy. I'm like, I don't do policy, but yeah. But I'm going to talk about biases and some of the stuff we discuss here with the organization. So why am I getting feedback like this? Happy birthday to you. I'm not doing this shit by myself. Okay.
I just wanted to add that we'll be talking about the mental health board, and then it sounds like you'll be talking about some other stuff too. Are you asking for someone to help out?
I mean, you don't got to commit now. Just hit me up if you're interested at all. Very informal. I'm not even doing slides. Molly might do some slides when she comes in, but because my thing is, talk about the board. We'll be fun people. I don't know. Here's this. You can read this. Look at this.
I think that this social work, like when I was a student, one of the professors was on the mental health board, but I think that there's maybe been kind of lost touch with the school, maybe with some exceptions. The community learning lab has been involved with
us. Yeah, they pretty much banned me all of a sudden. They want to mess with me again. But that's where actually I met Lynn. I was doing my impression of Tucker Carlson. Yeah, great story. You'll hear it someday.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Any other board announcements or input? All right, seeing none, our last item is to adjourn. So our next next time we meet will be a study session followed by a meeting, and those will be on April 16th, 2025, and April 30th, 2025, respectively, at both at 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Brookings Administrative Building, Urbana, Illinois. We will be discussing applications. Hopefully most of them on April 16th so that we will have time for other business on April 30th, but we have time to, you know, talk about applications in that second meeting. So we will see you on April 16th and 30th. And with that, we will adjourn. Have a great night.